Now when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all with one accord in one place. Suddenly there came from the sky a sound like the rushing of a mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Tongues like fire appeared and were distributed to them, and one sat on each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other languages as the Spirit gave them the ability to speak. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under the sky. When this sound was heard, the multitude came together and were bewildered because everyone heard them speaking in his own language. They were all amazed and were perplexed, saying one to another, "What does this mean?" Others, mocking, said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and spoke out to them, "You men of Judea, and all you who dwell at Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to my words. For these aren't drunken as you suppose, seeing it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what has been spoken through the prophet Joel. It will be in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Yes, and on my servants and on my handmaidens in those days, I will pour out my spirit and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord comes. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved."
Well, welcome back, everyone. Paul and Ainsley Harmon, we're here at Hope Chapel in the sanctuary. As you may be aware, this is our last Sunday where we are exclusively online for our Sunday services, so we're glad that you're here with us. Thank you for joining us. This is really the beginning of a great startup because, as you are aware, our governor has allowed the opening of churches, so we're going to call ours a regathering next Sunday, June 7th. Regathering. So it's exciting. It's Communion Sunday. But today's a special day. Today is Pentecost Sunday, 50 days after Easter. And we're going to just celebrate with today's message. Today's message is entitled Personal Pentecost. Personal Pentecost. As you take a look at that, you're going to find already we're going to be going into Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 13. And I've asked Ainsley not only to pray and bring some greetings, but to read that passage of Scripture. So let's prepare our hearts. Let's prepare by getting something to write with. Get your Bibles in hand. We're going to be looking at a lot of Scripture. We really want to drill down and help you understand what is it to be a Pentecostal Christian? What does it mean to be Spirit-filled? What is it and when was it that the church had its birth? Happy anniversary, everyone. Today is that day, Pentecost Sunday, when the Holy Spirit came to earth, just like Jesus came to earth on Christmas Day. So with that, Ainsley.
Yes. Pentecost Sunday is a wonderful time to celebrate because we know Jesus began the church and he gave them power when he came. And the Holy Spirit is still giving power to people today. When he came on that one particular time in fulfillment of the Jewish feasts. He was fulfilling something that had been laid out in Scripture, but the Holy Spirit continues to touch people. So we're believing he's going to touch your life today. And so we're going to pray that God would minister to you.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and pray, and we want to pray for our servant of the Lord here.
Thank you.
Paul, thank you for bringing the word, and thank you for not being afraid to address a subject that some people want to kind of skirt around because it's uncomfortable. But it's here for a reason, and so we are glad to address that
thank
today.
You,
so, Lord, we come to you in Jesus' name. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that comes to make the things of the Word of God and the things of Jesus Christ real to us. And we pray that you would use your servant today. Use Pastor Paul. Use my dear husband for your honor and glory today. Lord, we pray that the scripture would come alive. We pray that we would have new understanding of this event over 2,000 years ago that began the church that's still going strong today. Amen. So we thank you again for the word of God. We thank you for the presentation of it to us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
With that in mind, I'd like to read the passage that Paul will be speaking on today. It comes from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 13. It says, "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when the sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled and said to one another, 'Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God.' So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'Whatever could this mean?' Others mocking said, 'They are full of new wine.'"
Well, Ainsley, thank you very much. Sure, appreciate that. We're going to ask you to come back at the end of the message, which will be a brief message, but we're going to want to pray for those of our listening audience and our receiving audience that they would be even intrigued enough to say, "Lord, I need more of you."
Yes,
so thank you. We'll invite you back in a few
All
moments.
Right.
Well, once again, everyone, thank you. And thank you for being so mindful to just join with others around, maybe in your room, or invite people to have those watch parties. Send out the links. I think it's an important topic that we have, naturally, for believers. This is for believers and maybe for onlookers or observers saying, you know, those Christians, they really are a very dedicated bunch. They seem very sincere. How is that? Well, Holy Spirit has much to say about that. Because when Jesus really ascended into heaven, he did not intend for his ministry to stop. He did not say to his Christians, "Well, you just hold off to the end and go ahead and just read your Bible and just be good people, and one day I'll sound the trumpet and bring you home to be with me." No, there are people that need to hear the love of God. And the only thing to penetrate the darkness has to be the power of God. So I want to encourage you with that, because we're taking a look at Pentecost and Pentecost Sunday, which is really, again, 50 days after Easter. The Jewish tradition really had Pentecost as one of their feast days, and it marked 50 days after the first Passover, which was where God told Moses and the Israelites, "As you leave Egypt, as you leave slavery, I want you to move to this location 50 days. And so Pentecost marks the giving of the law. That was important for the Jewish community, the giving of the law. As well, the giving of the covenant, that God was giving a covenant, that he was going to promise to be with them, that he was promising to empower them. That was important. And also we recognize it's the mark of the beginning of the harvest season. Don't you think that's fantastic? The harvest season. That's what the Jewish community, it's the beginning of the harvest. It's Pentecost. And I think there's a great harvest that's among us right now, don't you? People are hungry for God. And we can't persuade anybody in our own actions or even attitudes. We need the power of God. But for us today, it marks the occasion of the promise of the Father to send the Holy Spirit. Jesus said that, I'm leaving you, but there'll be one after me that will come. Now, that's an important area that we're taking a look at. So our spiritual norm for any Christian is that they are Spirit-filled. They're not just born again. And so I want to just highlight today, please make sure, and I'll probably say it a couple times, I am not saying in order for you to go to heaven, you must be somehow baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's not it at all. We remember the thief on the cross, right? He had no opportunity to do anything. He wasn't able to go to some Sunday school class to get more right with God. Jesus just said, hey, I guarantee you, today you'll be with me in paradise. So with that, we're wanting to say, if you're wanting to live out your life, it's important. So we're not even talking about eloquence of language. We're talking about eloquence of the heart, right? Isn't that how God judges a person, evaluates a man? That's very important for us because God looks at the heart. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7 says that. I don't judge the exterior of a person. I judge the heart. So if your heart's opened at all to God, if you're anxious and just longing to say, I just want to know more, today's a day for you. We're very excited about that. So as we've looked here, it's important. And as you know, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, there's one ingredient that would come to so many of the Spirit-filled Christians, those who are born again but have also experienced the empowerment. One of them is an ability to speak in another language. So we're going to talk a little bit about that too. Sometimes the Bible will say, use the word tongues, and say, oh my, there we go. That's why we probably don't want to really talk about that. Well, that's because most don't understand what the Bible describes. We can't say it does not talk about speaking in other language or speaking in tongues. I think so many people don't allow that or want to see that happen in a public arena called church because there's no real leadership given to saying, okay, this is what you are now experiencing. We can't just say, go home and experience that if we never see it modeled or taught, being discipled, followed. And so it's important, right? I always have these famous last sayings that you want to be careful when you just talk to other people. Here's some famous funny last sayings. Here's one, give me a match. I think my gas tank is empty. Here's another one. Wife, these biscuits are tough. That'll be probably a twister right there. Another one, I don't recall the face, but the breath is familiar to me. Famous last sayings before we get in trouble. And here's another one. What? Your mother's going to stay with us another month? That may not go over so easily. Here's one that sometimes we say, hey, I speak in tongues. People don't understand that. They're a little more set back. And let's give some understanding to this very important topic, especially on Pentecost Sunday. My first point today, you'll see spiritual language is a gift of the Holy Spirit. That's important for us to recognize. It is a evidence of a person being Spirit-filled, but it's not the only evidence. I think the strongest evidence of somebody who's Spirit-filled is the love of God. Romans 5:5 says that so clearly. Now may the love of God that's been shed abroad in our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit. So if a person really is loving the unlovely, loving their enemies, and loving of God, that's probably an indication they're Spirit-filled. I like that as an evidence, but we're talking about spiritual language. Letter A on your notes, you'll see it there. The gift of speaking in other tongues follows salvation. Now, please follow this point. It's important. It follows salvation because some think, well, I got the Holy Spirit when I believe, but let's let the Bible speak for itself. Let's let the Word of God direct us in our understanding. Let's be open to what God says today. That's why we want to be students of the Word. When we take a look at this first point, that the gift of speaking in other tongues or spiritual language follows salvation. This is important. First, it's interesting because as you remember in John chapter 13, all the way through to the end, is really Jesus's last week, maybe the final hours of his life. He's in the upper room. Matter of fact, you want to note on your notes, John 13, 1, when you just take a look at it, it says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, Jesus starts to tell the disciples, I am leaving. That's important. From chapter 13, verse 1. Now we know the dialogue. He's talking to his disciples. He's going to be leaving. And they're sad about that. They're very sad about that. John chapter 14, verse 1 continues. That's where so many of us are familiar with that passage where Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions. I am going to prepare a place for you. He's still drilling down. I am leaving. And he starts to tell them, it's a good thing I'm leaving. They're very heartsick about that. You may want to write down John 13, verse 36, because the disciples saying, where are you going? And how can we know to follow you? It's important for them to recognize that. So once again, let's take a look here at a passage. It's in John 16, verse 7. In John 16, 7, you'll see it there. It is a PowerPoint. It says Jesus is saying, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Now, it's interesting that Jesus even has to say that, but he's emphasizing, I'm really telling you the truth on this one. It is to your advantage, verse 7 says, that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. Helpers, capital H, it's another title for the Holy Spirit. Him, capital H, it is God. Holy Spirit is God. May remember, Holy Spirit is not an it, not a thing. He is a being. He is deity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And Jesus says, I am sending you the Helper. I'm sending you another Helper. Really, he says in John 14, 16, I am sending you another Helper. Now, that's an interesting phrase. I'm sending you another one. One like me, but not me. I'm sending you another one like me, but it won't be me, but this person will be like me. I'm sending you another helper, a second helper. Well, that's very important, but they're still sad about that. How could it be to our advantage, the disciples are reasoning, how could it be to our advantage you're going away, Jesus? You who open the eyes of the blind or feed 5,000 people, I don't get it. It's best that you're here because so many cool things happen. But he says it's really to your advantage or else the Holy Spirit will not come. And I'll send the Holy Spirit to you. Now, when the resurrection comes, it's interesting because the Bible says in Acts chapter 1, verse 3, that Jesus spent really 40 days appearing to the disciples after the resurrection, after Easter Sunday. But one of the accounts that takes place is in John chapter 20, verse 21. Jesus walks right through the locked doors. He's now in the midst of the disciples. They are spoofed. Whoa, there he is. And he says this to them. Check it out with me. So Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, my point is that there is a second wave of blessing when a person gets saved. And that's called, that second wave is called the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Or we sometimes call it the baptism of the Holy Spirit or the gift of the Holy Spirit. So we're looking here when Jesus sees these disciples, he says to them, I'm going to send you out, but he breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, many people say, well, see, when you get born again, you receive the Holy Spirit. That's when it happens. But we're going to now go to Acts 2, the day of Pentecost, because the Holy Spirit's going to be poured out. You say, well, This is where it happened. No, it didn't. This is actually where the disciples became born again. When he breathed on them, it's a similar word, only one other time. It's in Genesis 2, verse 7, when God, the Septuagint, says that this, really where he, God breathed into man and he became a living soul. That word is emphyseo. Can you imagine what keeps us back from engaging God? It's called sin. God told Adam, the day you disobey me is the day you will surely die. You will die. You will die not only physically, death will take over your body, but you will die spiritually. You will run from me. You will not want fellowship with me. You will do your own thing now, always, called pride. And here Jesus comes in and takes away the sins of the world, and he breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. Their souls came alive. That's the born-again experience. If you have received Christ, I'm sure you felt something just like click. What just happened? The colors turn on. I'm excited about life again. It's so great. That's what happened. So we take a look here. It's something that's interesting because in Acts chapter 1, verse 4 and 5. Now we're in Acts 1. Remember, Jesus says, it's to your advantage, I'm going away, because if I do not go away, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, will not come. I've got to go away. Another one will come. And then he says to them, and it's now posted right there before you on the PowerPoint, Acts 1, verse 4, and being assembled together with them, he, Jesus, commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, capital P, which he said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Now, that's interesting. You might say, which I have, it's like, wait. Didn't Jesus just breathe on them, receive the Holy Spirit? John 20. Why is he now saying, you're going to receive the Holy Spirit? Wait for the promise. Again, the point being, the infilling of the Holy Spirit happens after salvation. That's important. That's it. If you get nothing further from our time today, it is important that you get a chance to recognize, I know I'm born again. Well, didn't I get the Holy Spirit? Yes. Why do I need the Holy Spirit? Because there's a second blessing. Well, wait a minute. I'm confused, Pastor Paul. Did I get the Holy Spirit when I was born again? Yes. Why do I need to be born again in somehow a second fashion? No. We're talking the infilling of the Holy Spirit that enables you to experience and enjoy a very powerful life serving Christ. Well, let's take a look here because it's important. I like what our founder of the Four Square Church, Amy Simple McPherson, said, that the end of the church age should not be weaker than at the beginning of the church age. Wouldn't it be, man, these early first century Christians, man, they were going for it. Signs and wonders following. You say, well, how come that isn't happening today? Could be because so many of us are just kind of clicking off and just saying, I just need to be ready for eternal life. I don't really need to do anything. That's true. Salvation is a gift given because of the cross of Jesus. I'm so glad, aren't you? But I want to do something for God. I want my life to be exciting, and it is. And I attribute it to the infilling of the Holy Spirit. So, once again, it's important for us because as Ainsley read the scriptures in Acts 2 on the day of Pentecost, verse 4, says so clearly, they were all assembled, they were all filled, and they all spoke with tongues, every one of them. That's important. 120 of them, Scripture says, that they were gathered together waiting for the Holy Spirit. Now, an important point was brought up, 120 of them, though Jesus appeared to over 500 brethren about after his resurrection, over 500. 1 Corinthians 15 talks about that. But I guess 120 were willing to wait. And maybe that's some of you who are listening. It's like, well, I've heard about this before, and you really haven't waited on, say, okay, God, I'm for it. Maybe you're going to be part of that procession now that says, man, I want the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Let me just proceed a little farther, because it's worth noting in Acts chapter 2, when Peter, shy Peter, gets filled with the Holy Spirit, and the audience is assembled saying, this is pretty radical. What's going on here? You guys must be having a late night party, because you're acting a little bit peculiar, like drunk people do. And in the process, Peter gets up, and this short little message, it's all listed there in Acts chapter 2, check it out. And 3,000 people surrendered their lives to Jesus. It's an amazing thing. He who denied the Lord three times now speaks, and God gives him a fruitful response of over 3,000 response. It's amazing. But I want to note here in Acts chapter 2, verse 38 and 39, write that down, but you'll see it now on the screen. It says, then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift. I like that word, gift. If there's anything you and I need to earn, the infilling of the Holy Spirit stops being a gift. It's now something like a reward or something I earned. Repent, every one of you, the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you, his audience, and to your children, those beyond who are watching at that day and age, and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And that is us today. Is God calling you to be a more dynamic, outward-focused believer, not inward, sulking, selfish, centered Christian, saying, I just want to get to heaven, but I want to do something for God. So it's important. Again, infilling the Holy Spirit follows salvation. That's the point that we're taking a look at. That's what's important. The church grew after the day of Pentecost, but persecution ensued. Christians were being persecuted and even martyred, and they scattered. Now, God was saying, you'll be witnesses for me, not only here at home, but in the neighboring communities and to the utmost parts of the earth. But they were pretty happy to have life groups and fellowship going house to house. But then persecution hit. Sometimes God has to get us outdoors of our comfort zone, maybe somewhat similar to what we call a pandemic, where we are now giving hope to people that are locked down, filled with anxiety. And God wants to get the good news out, and here you and I are saying, well, how can I do this? It has to be the power of God. That's what we're talking about. Well, as the church grew, they went everywhere. If you were to just note here for a moment, take a look in your Bibles at Acts chapter 8. It's interesting to note in Acts chapter 8, we have here Philip travels outside to really flee the persecution in Jerusalem. And it says so clearly in verse 4 that, therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Philip lands in Samaria. He speaks the word. And man, there's a revival in the town. Miracles were happening. Unclean spirits were coming off of people. And take note, because I cite Acts chapter 8, verse 14. Check it out, what the Christians did when they heard that people were now born again. The point being, is that these people in Samaria are born again, but they were not filled with the Holy Spirit. Maybe you're born again, but you've not really invited the Holy Spirit. Let's check out how important it was for the early church to get the new Christians filled with the Spirit. Let's look at Acts chapter 8, verse 14. Now, when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive what? What? The Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. Now, look at that phrase. How many did the Holy Spirit fall on since they believed? None. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. My point being, again, is that these people were born again. They were even water baptized. But the early church was so adamant about getting Christians filled, they sent the two big guns down there, Peter and John. Let's go down there and get them filled with the Spirit. That's our heart's desire as a Spirit-filled church, as Spirit-filled Christians, even in your own home. We're not even interested only in getting people saved, have their salvation secure because of the cross. That's a done deal. That's what Jesus did when he's on the cross. It is finished. For him, it was finished. His salvation to you is a gift. But he says, I have something else. That gift of the Holy Spirit to continue the work that I have done. And as we know, the church, in the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, there's many numerous occasions where the Holy Spirit came on new believers. I think it's worth noting as well, in Acts chapter 19, verse 1 through 7, write that down, just check it out, because Paul the Apostle says something I think so intriguing. Comes to these 12 dudes in Ephesus, the beginning of the church at Ephesus. We have the book called Ephesians. But he asked them this question, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? I guess that's kind of what I'm asking myself and others. Are you born again? We can tell because we're so glad to see you so faithful to God and things of the Lord. But have you received the Holy Spirit since you were born again? Since you were water baptized? Since you were joining now the membership of a church? Have you received the Holy Spirit? That's what the Apostle Paul, if he walked right on into your setting where you're at, if he were to probably observe some lackluster living for God and no indication of really transformed life or words that expressed gratitude or righteousness, he'd probably say, hey, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And then naturally, those guys said, we haven't even heard whether there is such a thing. It's a great read. I encourage you to do that. A lot of people are saying, well, we've heard about the Holy Spirit. We kind of read hymnals and say prayers with the word Holy Spirit, but how does he fit in? Today's the day for you, and I'm so glad you're journeying with me. And it's important we're laying out some of these scriptures because we want the word of God to speak. We want the word to reveal. Let's take a look at letter B now. We're going to move along, but I think that was an important point, that the gift of speaking in tongues, the infilling of the Holy Spirit, follows salvation. Point, or letter B, Holy Spirit of God is involved in the gift of tongues. That's all we want to make mention of. It's the Holy Spirit. It's not an evil spirit. In Luke chapter 11, verse 13, you see it right there. It's Jesus who says, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more so will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? I think Jesus was really cutting right on in there when he was just saying, listen, God's going to give you something of himself, his very nature, and it's not an evil spirit. There's times I'll hear people say, that's kind of wooey, the spirit stuff. And what if people get a little this wild or kind of like weird or this tongue thing, lickety lick? I don't like that. Well, it's of God. And we who are evil daddies would never do something evil to our own kids. That's what he's saying. How much more so will your heavenly Father give you a good spirit, the Holy Spirit, for those who ask him? Now, that's wonderful. So that's why we always want to base our faith on the word of God. There's public opinion out there, usually people that speak from really ignorance or a lack of understanding, or maybe even just good exposure to proper discipleship in the word of God. So with that, I like that. I like Luke 11, verse 10, where scripture comes along. Jesus says, for everyone who asks, receives. He who seeks, finds. For everyone who asks, again, Luke 11, 13, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more so will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? For everyone who asks, receives. Would you say that line with me? Jesus said it. Repeat it right now. For everyone who asks, receives. Let's say it again. For everyone who asks, receives. Everyone means everyone. I like that, don't you? Well, when we take a look that God is involved in the gift of tongues, that's the important thing. If you look here for a moment, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2, I want to rephrase that. You'll see there as well, write down that reference, but it says, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. Well, an unknown language to the one who is speaking it, but isn't it interesting when a person is speaking in an unknown language, or here the reference is tongues, they're speaking to God. God knows. I like also, take note there on your screen, 1 Corinthians 14, 14. In 1 Corinthians 14, 14, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. My spirit prays. So speaking in tongues is a prayer language or a praise. We saw in Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, man, those people from other regions and other nations said, we hear them speaking in our own language. What were they hearing them say? The wonderful works of God. It was a praise. So tongues is really, according to Scripture, it's a prayer language, and it's a praise language. I sure like that. So just in case you say, well, I don't really understand what I'm saying, and I kind of like lose momentum whenever I kind of use my spiritual language, well, keep at it. Keep working. Keep doing what you're doing so well, because with that, it's important because we recognize, we know what we're doing. We are praying to God. We are praying to God. So that's important. Letter C, praying with the laying on of hands is the pathway. Prayer with the laying on of hands is the way for that to happen. We have citing there of Acts 8, 17. We saw that. Acts 9, 17 talks about that. Went in there and laid hands on the Apostle Paul. Acts 19, 6. The Apostle Paul took his hands, laid it on those 12 guys. There's probably only two references in Scripture that the Holy Spirit came upon people without laying on of hands, and that was the day of Pentecost. And also Cornelius' house in Acts 10, when the Holy Spirit came upon the non-Jews called Gentiles. So again, remember, just in case you just joined us, I am not saying that a person has to be spirit-filled in order for them to go to heaven. That's not what I'm saying. That is a given by the cross of Jesus. For our sins to be removed, it's so significant for us to have the sins. People will not miss heaven, really, because of anything else except their need to have their sins removed. It's important for us. But let's take a look at point number two, the benefits of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Let's just take a look at the benefits here. First, letter A, Holy Spirit allows us to pray beyond our understanding. Boy, that's significant for us. I don't know where your prayer life lies. I don't know what it's like. Maybe it's a very lackluster life, and prayer becomes a dismal drudgery to you. I know it has been for me in the past until I really latched on and said, I'm going to pray in the Spirit more. But let's look here, because this is an important phrase for you and me. It's in Romans 8, verse 26, where we find so clearly that the Bible stipulates that the Holy Spirit helps our weaknesses. Let me read that to you. Follow along with me. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. Well, do you have any weaknesses? I do. If you have any weaknesses, Holy Spirit helps in our weaknesses. Verse goes on in verse 26, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. One of the things we often are not aware of, and that is, how do we pray for people? What should we pray for people? Usually we just pray, deliver them from evil and get them out of any dilemma they're in. But isn't it great to be able to pray the will of God? And that's where the Holy Spirit will help us to say, okay, that old Lord's Prayer, Lord, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. But I want to just say, for you to pray in that spiritual language is so effective. It is the way to get your answers, always your answers. Let me cite as an example. Remember, we're taking a look. The Holy Spirit allows us to pray beyond our understanding. So if you say, my prayer life, I don't know. I've been reading prayer books. I just read the prayer books. But how about praying the will of God? Let's look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. This shows that if we pray the will of God, we're going to get our answers. Verse 14 of 1 John. This is the epistle of John, not the gospel of John. 1 John 5, 14 and 15. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. That's an amazing thing. You ask anything. Well, how do I know the will of God? Well, check out the book. God makes his will pretty clear, or his principles pretty solidly on display by the printed word of God. But to pray the Holy Spirit, we just saw in Romans 8, 26 and 27. Well, I like that. We saw 1 Corinthians 14, 14, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, though my understanding is unfruitful. Now, I'm sometimes very excited when I pray in the spirit. I'll list somebody's name, and then I'll pray in tongues for that person. Because I know the Holy Spirit's making it happen, using me for whatever miraculous understanding prayer life and prayer really is. I'm praying to God in the spirit. I am praying the perfect will of God for that person. And 1 John 5, 14 says, I'm going to receive the petition. There could be times I'm praying for a family member, and I'll say, oh, dear Lord, make them happy, give them lots of cash, no troubles, always in good health. Probably sounds like so much of our typical prayers for people we know and love. Why not? Why not? And then we pray in the Spirit. What if the Holy Spirit were to say, well, Heavenly Father, you heard that prayer of Paul's for his family, but would you line that out? Would you allow them to go through a real stretching time of a little leanness, maybe a pandemic, maybe something of a little anxiety, so that they learn to trust wholly on you, Almighty God? Though it's going to be a little ship-shoddy, a little scary, let them come out solid. Strong men and women of God. Now, I would never pray that way. I like the ending, but if I knew what I was praying for my family, I would never pray that way. It's probably why we need the Holy Spirit to be praying for people, don't we? The perfect will of God, making intercession for the saints. Would you do that? Would you pray that for your church? Would you pray in the Spirit? It's beautiful. We trust the Holy Spirit to use your spirit to make intercession for the saints. Wow. On this day of Pentecost, so powerful. Let's hit a couple more. Letter B, the Holy Spirit allows us to obey beyond our understanding. Boy, that's so significant. In John chapter 14, verse 12, Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to be with my Father. Jesus never intended for his works to stop. It's an amazing thing. We really have a bored generation. We have the greatest technology, the most exciting things. Many of our students, our children, are just on really real social media or on their phones. The Clash of Clans is just a popular app that's going on, or Word with Friends. And yet, they're still, I'm so bored. Naturally, quarantine would cause that to happen. But it's the most dreaded thing for a father to say, Dad, are we going there again? How boring. Mom, are we eating that again? How boring. I'm hearing that even the students want to go back to school. They are so bored. But I'll tell you, a life without Jesus is so significant, so powerful. It's not boring to live for Jesus. The Christian life is really kind of like a football stadium. Man, you have all these Christians that come into the large stadium. You come through one door. Jesus is that door, isn't he? Isn't that amazing? That's what Jesus says in John 10, 9. I am the door where men go in and go out and find life. Very powerful. But then once you come into the stadium, maybe a few get to play the game. 22 guys in dire need of rest, and you have 20,000 in the stands in dire need of exercise. And I'll tell you, the Holy Spirit allows us to obey beyond our ability. It's very significant. When you come to Jesus as your Savior and Lord, you make that decision to be a bleacher Christian or to be one who plays on the field, and the Holy Spirit enables you to experience that. I'm so glad. My life is so exciting. It's been the most challenging. It's been the most adventurous, and I would not change a single thing. I want that for every Christian, and I especially want it for our young Christians and for our young people. Would you encourage them, say, wow, I think maybe we need to consider just at least asking our Heavenly Father, Lord, fill us with the Holy Spirit. Well, I need to press on just a little bit more. I think it's important. I remember our former director of Foursquare Missions International. His name's Don McGregor. He said once to me, he says, we're only at home in God when we're in the Spirit. Isn't that amazing? It's the only time since we're both flesh and spirit. He goes on and says, otherwise we're dead meat. We're the walking dead. We need to be alive in Jesus. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, it literally says that. It says, as you can see on your notes, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you're having problems with your flesh, wouldn't it be great? Today's the day. Say, Lord, I need the power from on high to obey you beyond my ability. I have no ability of my own. Holy Spirit, come. So we see we're able to pray beyond our ability. We're able to obey beyond our ability. And as the Holy Spirit is allowed to operate more in your life, you see on your notes there, right there, Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23, where the Scripture says so clearly, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Come on. Against such there is no law. So let's encourage ourselves. I like Jude 20. Jude 20, but you, my beloved, build up your most holy faith. How? Praying in the Holy Spirit. Well, let me just take a look at this one last point. I'm really trying to say the benefits to you of being filled. Things I have enjoyed, areas I've observed in others, people pray to have a prayer life that's outstanding. People are walking out in obedience that is just beyond the norm. And then letter C, Holy Spirit allows us to praise beyond our understanding. Something about praising the Lord in the Spirit, it's so significant because Jesus was the one in John 4, verse 23 and 24. Would you look there? You can see on your screen, but the hour is coming, Jesus says. And now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Sincerity and allowing our spirit to really engage God. I'm sure we could observe people that are just content to watch other people get radically renewed in their time of singing to God. You can see it. It's wonderful. It's exhilarating to see others engage. But wouldn't you want to be one of those worshipers in spirit and in truth? I know I want to be that. Well, we need the Holy Spirit's help. There's just something in our own flesh that says, you know, I want to go there. I don't want to act weird. And we just reason things out. And then we disqualify ourselves. We disqualify ourselves. But the Holy Spirit says, no, come on, Paul, come on, you can do this. Get excited. And let me remind you of the goodness of the Heavenly Father's love for you and the power of the cross that's provided great benefits as a covenant person. Then I get excited. Then I can't stop talking and bragging about the Lord. Well, I remember one day a guy came up to me and he was in a personal identity crisis. He says, can you help me, Pastor? Well, what's going on? He says, well, my wife came to me and says, I know you're not happy. I can tell. And that makes me unhappy. And you better fix it. That's what his wife told him. You better fix it. That's what he was supposed to do. Well, sometimes, like, what am I supposed to do to make myself happy? Hey, check it out. God has a great benefit called the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Well, finally, my last verse, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. In Ephesians 5, 18, it really is really a directive. It's a command. And it says so clearly, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. And speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So I want to just add that last verse here as we're bringing things down to a conclusion. Don't be drunk with wine. Why? Well, in that setting, alcohol was really a very weak counterfeit to what the benefits are of being filled with the Spirit. I don't know what kind of drinkers we all have been in the past, but once the six-pack's done, there goes the exuberance. But the Holy Spirit can be a part of that. Love, joy, peace. Never depart. It says, be filled. Don't go after these counterfeit exposures. You know, maybe some of you might experience what it is to have alcohol and you just feel a little more calm, a little more relaxed, carefree. Don't feel as agitated or worried. But wouldn't it be great that you laid that down and said, okay, Holy Spirit, I'm going to give you the opportunity. I want that experience. God's presence brings such a peace. God's presence brings such an assurance and a confidence and a persuasive power, and it's very real. God is very real. He's probably speaking to you right now how he wants to come and be a part of your life. You who don't want to be a bleacher Christian, but you want to get into the arena and play the game right there in the stadium of life and let the great cloud of witnesses see you. Go for it. Go for it. Get thirsty for God. What a great opportunity on this Pentecost Sunday to say, Lord, I want what you have. For you now who say, well, I've been filled with the Spirit. I remember 1968, I was filled. And when was the last time you spent time speaking in prayer language to God? Well, I kind of like maybe mumbled inside my head. You got to speak it to be refilled. To you who haven't, and maybe labor in speaking in tongues as you pray for others and praise God. If you'll notice there, Ephesians 5, 18 and 19, let's look at that again. Can you put that on the screen for me? It says, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Look at the first word, speaking. Everybody say speaking. Speaking. You've got to speak in tongues to be filled. You can't just want to read about it. You can't just say, well, you know, I think that happens, or I mumbled a few syllables. Speaking. That's important. That's how you get filled up. Speak. Spend time today. My challenge is for each of you who are Spirit-filled currently, speak in tongues at least 5 minutes a day. Boy, you'll be empowered and enriched, and watch how your prayers get answered. You didn't even think that you were asking that. To be refilled with the Spirit is something that you and I need to tend to. It's like free refills at In-N-Out. You know when that dispenser of your cup goes dry when you're sucking on those tumblers and there's nothing left in the bottom of the straw, you have to go over to the machine, kick the lever, get it refilled. It's the same with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. How, Paul? How? Speaking. Speaking. Spend time speaking in that spiritual language that God has given you. Well, what a powerful thing today. It's a wonderful opportunity for me to address a very tender but significant message for you and me. I'm going to invite Ainsley to come and join me. Honey, as you come up here, we're going to now pray and just believe. There are those who are watching right now and say, boy, I just need something to happen. My ability to really just pray or to obey or really just have that opportunity to just do something great for God We need his help. Yes. Remember, it was God's word says, not by might, not by power, but by spirit, says the Lord.
That's right.
I just want to recount one story as amazing because I recall when I first entered into just volunteering for a young person's ministry called Royal Rangers. My brother Bob invited me. We were there at Camp Firestone right there. If you've gone through Brea Canyon, it's the turnoff right there. And it was a Royal Rangers sectional. It was a powwow, about 450 children and men. And I am a 19-year-old thinking, do I want to help these little kids that are just running all around? And the man who discovered and set in motion Royal Rangers, his name's Johnny Barnes. He went home to be with the Lord, but he started a program similar to Boy Scouts, but with a very heavy emphasis on Scripture and on the Word of God. And he spoke in this darkened arena, the canyon, the campfire roaring, and he was speaking about as a little farm boy needing to run for help to another farm 2 miles away, and that he was exhausted and needing power. And he talked about the power of the Holy Spirit. And he said to the 450 men and boys, if you want that power, come on down out of the seats. And they were on slopes of the hills, just covering the little valley. And I'll never forget that. Easily 100 boys. And Johnny Barnes says, now you commanders, come on down and just be with your boys. Everybody raise your hand. And he just did a simple prayer. I've never seen it happen like that, where they were literally what's called slain in the spirit. And the boys were speaking in tongues. Phenomenal. And from that moment on, I said, I need to be a part of this kind of organization. I was a commander for 5 years before stepping into the junior high youth ministry. It was powerful. I believe God can do something like that for you right now. And I'm going to invite Ainsley and I to just pray for you. If you would take a moment, maybe in the comfort, however you feel, just to lift your hands. Maybe you just need that refilling take place. Or you're feeling confident, say, that is me. I lift my hands. And if I could, I'd get on a mountaintop and say, Lord, do something in my life. I can't do it on my own. So, Lord, we pray now, Lord, that you would move by your Spirit and that you know the hearts of every man and woman, boy and girl. You know the hearts and where they are. And you certainly know how all of us need you. So, Lord, move according to your word. You have a promise called the Helper, the Holy Spirit. And, Lord, in the name of Jesus, now touch them.
Yes, Jesus.
In the name of Jesus, yes. Now renew them.
Thank you, Jesus.
And in the name of Jesus, now fill them to overflowing.
Yes,
and let
Amen.
Signs and wonderful wonders
Amen.
Just
Thank
mark
you,
their life. No more being just a compromiser
That's right.
or a lukewarm Christian, but one who is wonderfully enriched,
Thank you, Lord.
Heavily involved, Thank you. And excited to tell everybody
Yes.
what God has done for them today. Be blessed, be filled Yes, in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Well, we believe that. We believe something has happened to you today, and we want to thank God for that. Well, on this occasion, we're pretty excited, aren't we, Ainsley? Because
yeah.
a couple of things taking place. I don't know if you have something you'd like to add to that or...
No.
Well, thank
it's
you.
It's all you.
Well, let me just highlight a couple of things before we just once again just thank you. We look forward to hearing how the Lord's touched your heart and life. Next Sunday, June 7th, we open the doors to our church service. We are welcoming you to come. You probably have already viewed my little information about what it's going to be like here at Hope Chapel. It's going to be a little bit different, but it's going to be our regathering. We've always been open. You've enjoyed times together with us for many, many Sundays online. We welcome you. If you're feeling comfortable, come join in person. You'll see some things, a very, very cautious and caring and safe environment. It will be here. But we want to also let you know, if you feel better equipped and safe and secure at home, please stay home. Please continue to engage us online. Many of you will come in and you'll say, wow, the church sanctuary kind of looks like a recording studio. Well, that's because we are very interested and our online audience, we love you. We feel a connection to you. We want to keep that going. We believe the Lord will show us how that will happen. So next Sunday is it. We're thrilled. Please come and join us. It begins a wonderful, wonderful time of just refreshing, renewing, and much needed face-to-face with social distancing fellowship. Finally, I want to just say too, today is really May 31st, Pentecost Sunday. Normally, we would have been at Foursquare Convention. It's called Connection. We would have been in Colorado, but it was canceled because of COVID-19. Would you consider, now they're offering online, you can go to connectionlive.org. If you'll go on the internet and go to connectionlive.org, you will see the installation. It really is the inauguration of our incoming president, Randy Remington. He will take the oath of office and will bring an address. We're excited about that. When will that be? 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Would you come be a part of that? See the installing of our new president. We would have been there in person in Colorado, but because it was canceled, it's going now live around the world. We invite you. It's an exciting day. I would love to be installed in anything on Pentecost Sunday. Maybe for you who are filled today or hungry for more of God, today's your day as well. We celebrate that because of the faithfulness of God's promise. Pentecost Sunday for so many of us. So we thank the Lord for you. We look forward to seeing you next Sunday, be it online or in person. But until then, may God bless you and keep you. May cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. The Lord bless you. Thank you for being with us today. I want to thank you for joining us at Hope Chapel Huntington Beach today. It's our desire to share the teachings of Hope Chapel globally and to hear how they empower others to follow Jesus. If today's message encouraged you to follow Jesus, we want to know. You can email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. If you'd like to support us financially, you can give online securely at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can mail that check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. We hope that you would be interested in having us contact you. You can subscribe to our newsletter by going online at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. I want to thank you, and God bless you.